Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Hour of the Time with your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona. And I want to thank you for tuning in to the Hour of the Time this evening, 18th of January, 2010. Oh, happy Martin Lucifer King Day as well. And tonight we're going to go into part three of our series, all from original writings of the societies, the secret societies, on the symbolic prophecy of the Great Pyramid. But first, if you'd like to write the Hour of the Time, you may do so by writing Hour of the Time, or HOT, H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona 85925. Again, that's Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona 85925. The website is hourofthetime.com. That's hourofthetime.com. And the studio number here in Eager is 928-333-2942. 928-333-2942. And the studio in Canada, 613-733-4324. 613-733-4324. Now, ladies and gentlemen, a few quick reminders. Hour of the Time is listener-supported, ladies and gentlemen, and without your support and help, we cannot continue our broadcasting and expansion and speaking engagements and everything that goes along with the operation. We have a huge collection of MP3s available at the Hot Shop. Just go to the website again, hourofthetime.com, and go to the Hot Shop link and view our materials. Several collections, like Mystery Babylon 1, 2, and 3, the Lost Light series, the Minuteman series, Survival, Weather Control, Mind Control, the NSA, on and on and on. DVD presentations. So, ladies and gentlemen, get in behind your causes. Because if you haven't got the hint, we're losing quickly in this country and, well, here in Canada and anywhere else, or for anybody else that respects and desires freedom, a republican form of government. Mobocracy, socialism, communism is getting rammed down our throats. And there is one way to stop it, and that's fight back. Proactive response, ladies and gentlemen. It's the only method. Hit it head on, fight it head on, and smash it. And if you're not up to that, then you're listening to the wrong program. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I hope everybody, as usual, takes notes. You need to have something after this musical break. This gives you 2 or 3 minutes to get something to write with, something to drink or eat, whatever you're doing. And be prepared, because we have lots of details, little dates, numbers, intricacies, as we get deeper and deeper into this area of study on the secret societies and their symbolic prophecies from the Great Pyramid. Thank you. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona, with the Hour of the Time tonight, part three in our series on the symbolic prophecy of the Great Pyramid, taken from the original and old writings on the topic, right from the secret societies themselves. Tonight, the 18th of January, 2010. Now to recap briefly from last week into the Rosetta Stone. The desire was to prevent, ladies and gentlemen, the hieroglyphic language of the Egyptians from becoming permanently lost, and thus making it impossible for future generations of mankind to interpret all of the sacred writings. Now, ladies and gentlemen, these hieroglyphs were placed in the temples, upon the walls, the walkways, the obelisk, and other permanent structures of the country. In fact, the hieroglyphic language of the Egyptians was a dead and unknown language until the Rosetta Stone was discovered with a carefully planned key. On this stone, certain historical passages were written in three languages, including the Egyptian hieroglyphs and the Grecian. By comparing the one language with the other and interpreting the same passage, the key to all of the fundamental principles of the Egyptian hieroglyph language was revealed. And the discovery of the Rosetta Stone will go down as one of the most important scientific events of history and contributed very greatly to the present understanding of the Egyptian language, Egyptian writings, and Egyptian knowledge. However, the builders of the pyramid anticipated that the Rosetta Stone might never be found, or any similar key, and that even those languages then existing outside of the Egyptian, such as the Greek language, might pass into oblivion, and therefore some other method for indicating the events of the future history of the world would have to be adopted to assure a definite and correct interpretation. In other words, the prophetic knowledge and wisdom, as well as the historical facts of Egypt and of ancient civilization, would have to be indicated in certain ways that were not dependent upon any one language or any one system of registering thoughts. This system would have to be based upon some method that would eternally be permanent and universally recognized. Certainly, this was a monumentous problem. But in solving the problem, these ancient Egyptians adopted a method which science today would adopt in similar circumstances. Excuse me. There are certain principles in the universe that are universal and will be eternal, and these are related to the geometrical, mathematical, and physical facts of the earth and the universe itself. Therefore, geometry and mathematics and the principles of cosmology were combined to use as the fundamentals of a language. In the first place, the selection of the site for the pyramid had to be given the utmost consideration, since by its very location, future generations would be able to determine one important fact, that the Egyptians who planned it were acquainted with two fundamental sources of knowledge, namely, the exact amount of land on the surface of the earth and its geographical distribution, and secondly, the relationship of that point on the earth's surface to the principal stars of the heavens and certain cosmological and astronomical landmarks, so to speak. If future generations were to discover these two great facts, they would be tempted to determine how much further the Egyptians had gone in the building of the pyramid to utilize their knowledge of geometry and astronomy to make the pyramid symbolic. In interpreting such symbolism from both a mathematical and scientific point of view, they would not fail to discover the mysterious knowledge that was concealed in the dimensions and structural details of the pyramid. This, in turn, would tempt investigators to be cautious in examining every minute detail of the structure and in relating it to cycles and mathematical scales covering past history. And through this discover, the prophecies regarding the future history of man. It was a magnificent and daring idea. It called for the careful and precise application of all the great knowledge possessed by the Egyptians, and for the careful reading of the future by whatever mystical means they had used in their mystery schools for ages, and classifying this prophetic knowledge in a systematic manner so that it might be properly recorded in symbolism and measurements. It, ladies and gentlemen, was soon discovered by those who investigated the pyramid in later centuries that other pyramids and temples built in ancient times had been oriented to definite astronomical alignments. Sir Norman Lockyer was but one of the scientific investigators who pointed out to the world at large the significance of the relationship between the orientation or precise location of these pyramids and temples to astronomical facts, particularly to the understanding astronomical facts of the times in which the structures were built. But it was discovered that of all the mysterious and symbolical structures found any place in the world, there were but two whose dimensions or structural features, when reduced to measurements by a definite standard, were found to represent certain elements of the functions of the solar circle. These two mysterious structures are the Great Pyramid in Egypt and the Stonehenge Circle in England. Ladies and gentlemen, your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona, Monday, 18th of January, 2010, part 3 in our series on the symbolic prophecy according to the mystery schools of the Great Pyramid. Sir Flinders Petrie discovered, for instance, after much research, that a circle drawn within the interior of the Great Stone Circle at Stonehenge has a diameter of 1,163 British inches, 1163 British inches. And this is where those of you who took me up on the offer, the first installment of this series, are going to be happy. Follow along with your materials we gave you from Hour of the Time, and you'll make sense of the drawings. Now, ladies and gentlemen, again, a circle drawn within the interior of the great stone circle at Stonehenge has a diameter of 1,163 British inches, and therefore is 3,653 inches in circumference. 3,653 inches in circumference. These figures approximate the dimensions of the solar circle on a reduced scale of 10 inches per day, and also approximate the dimensions of the Egyptian aurora, since it was known that the Stonehenge circle, as well as other mystical circles found in ruins and remote places, had served the early British priest astronomers, and especially the mystics of the Brotherhood of Druids, as a sundial of the seasons. It was recognized at once that there was a symbolic relationship between the Earth's mathematical features and the astronomical elements and these mysterious structures. Also, since Stonehenge was undoubtedly erected about 1,000 years later than the Great Pyramid, and by representatives of the same race known as the Aryan Phoenicians, it was believed that the measurements of the Great Pyramid, located in the precise land center of the Earth, would reveal many fundamental geometrical and astronomical principles. As soon as the scientists began to measure the outer surfaces and dimensions of the pyramid, and then all its secret passageways, their width, height, inclinations, and relationships to one another, and to the outer surfaces of the pyramid, and then to the astronomical elements, many interesting facts piled up rapidly until the investigators, one after another, were astounded at the genius of those who planned the pyramid and of those who so carefully carried out the plan. In the first place, ladies and gentlemen, we must remember that the very name pyramid was given to these structures in Egypt was symbolic, because the word is really Greek and not Egyptian. In the Greek language, the word pyra means fire or light, or illumination that reveals something or makes things visible in darkness. The word mitos means measures. The Greeks had derived these words from the Phoenician word perim mita, which meant light measures. Even in the Hebrew language, there was a word very similar, which meant measures, that revealed something, or revelation measures. Therefore, the pyramid itself meant something that constituted measured revelations, or revelations through measurements. The first problem, however, that faced the architects of the pyramid was to determine upon a unit of measurement. We today, who are so accustomed in America, for instance, to the yardstick in inches and feet, do not stop to realize that the inch as a unit of measurement was an arbitrarily adopted thing, and that even the British inch is not precisely the same as the American inch. And that in ancient times, there were units like the inch, and to which we refer as an inch, but which were of different length than the present American or British systems. The metric system constitutes another arbitrarily adopted unit of measurement. What unit of measurement should the Egyptians use in building the pyramid, which would be eternal and universal? The scientists discovered that the unit of measurement used in the pyramid, and now called the pyramid inch, was adopted because it was equivalent to a primitive polar diameter inch, which, by the way, was the unit of measurement adopted by the Hebrews as determined by Sir Isaac Newton in his investigations. Since the polar diameter of the Earth is 500 million polar inches, or 500,000 British inches, the difference between these two units of measurement would be only 1/1,000th of an inch. At one time in British history, however, the polar inch and the British inch were equal. The interesting factor is revealed here that since the Anglo-Saxon race had adopted the ancient Hebrew inch, it would indicate that this race descended from the Hebrew. And it would indicate also that the Egyptians, in adopting such an inch, realized that the Anglo-Saxon races would be the first to recognize the unit of measurement, and therefore look upon the messages concealed in the Great Pyramid as intended for them, principally. For instance, in the German or French nations, if they were to measure the pyramid and all of its symbolic mathematics using some other system, such as the metric system with its unit, they would find little symbolical knowledge and nothing of a startling nature. Thus, if we approach the interior of the pyramid with a tape measure of polar inches or British inches, the pyramid begins to talk and bring forth its hidden revelations, telling us the story of past centuries before the pyramid was built, the story of the times when it was built, and of many, many centuries to come. Beginning our measurements, therefore, we find that the pyramid rests within a square. And if we measure each side of this square from corner to corner, where the base sockets of the pyramid are located, we find that each side is 9,131 pyramid inches in length. If we add these four sides together, it would be equivalent to taking a long tape measure and going from one corner to the other until the tape had completed the four sides of the base, and if we straightened it out into one long straight line, we would find that it had a total length of 36,524 inches. With perhaps a variation of a part of an inch due to errors in measurement or dislocation of parts of the outer stone. Now, this number, ladies and gentlemen, if you listened earlier, of 36,524 will be recognized instantly by any person acquainted with the fundamental principles of astronomy. If we allow 2/10 of an inch for errors in measurement, which is the average error as recorded by scores of measurements, we find the approximate precise figure to be 36,524.2. This we see at once, ladies and gentlemen, from earlier, I hope you took notes, is 100 times the length of the solar year. Or in other words, 365 days. This surprising fact furnishes us With the first definite key, it makes us realize that the pyramid is not only symbolical in all of its measurements, but that the Egyptians had a precise knowledge of the solar year and of other important astronomical features which they have embodied in the pyramid measurements. Therefore, we are obviously tempted, ladies and gentlemen, to next secure an accurate measure of the pyramid's height, including the original epic stone. This, science has found, is 5813, 5,813 from base to epix. Using our geometrical knowledge, we find that this is equal to the radius of a circle of, guess what, 36,524 inches circumference. In other words, the height of the pyramid is equivalent to the radius of the circle of the solar cycle. Ladies and gentlemen, just pause for a moment here and pay homage, if you will, to these ancients for their wisdom and knowledge, and to think again of the statement made so often by the doubters of the significance of the pyramid, who claim that it was built as the vain attempt of a pharaoh to build a more magnificent tomb for himself than any other pharaoh had ever built. The pharaoh might easily have constructed such a magnificent and impressive, pyramid, towering all other tombs in its height and width, without becoming involved in such highly technical and unimportant elements as astronomical measurements and solar units. We are again impressed with the fact that this great structure was not designed as a mere tomb. It has, ladies and gentlemen, become entirely too significant to have been merely the protection of a secret burial chamber. Other lines of measurement in the pyramid reveal the true orbital year of 365.259 days and the sidereal year by the measurement of 36,524.6 inches. These points and their significance have been revealed and carefully analyzed by that eminent scientist, Dr. Davidson, in his learned articles dealing with the pyramid, which appeared in the Morning Post in England. Another measurement discovered by Mr. Davidson, or Dr. Davidson, given in inches the radius of the Earth's orbit. Thus far, ladies and gentlemen, we have already found that the measurements of the pyramid represent the solar cycle and the difference between the solar, sidereal, and orbital years, thereby resulting in measurements that give us the average sun's distance from the Earth, the Earth's surface displacements, and the displacements of the Earth's orbit. Within the pyramid, ladies and gentlemen, all of its halls, rooms, and passageways reveal in their form and relationship to each other and to the pyramid itself, and its relationship to the earth and the heavens, certain other significant features. And these have to be worked out very carefully using the units of measurement as a scale of years for determining past and future events. right, ladies and gentlemen, your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona, 18th of January, 2010, Monday evening, part three of our series on the symbolic prophecy according to the mystery schools of the Great Pyramid. Now let's go back and study those charts. Those of you astute listeners of the first installment in the series, and look at plate one, an elevation, if you will, of the pyramid. Look carefully. Notice the beveled baseline, then the unfinished pit to symbolize the bottomless pit or no escape, but up by a well, up past the cross of Christ. Then if you look at atonement passage, symbolized by the well, which represents Christ's descent from the cross into Sheol and back to his resurrection. Up this passage, believers can escape even from the brink of hell. Then you have the grotto, symbolic of paradise, or the place where the Old Testament saints await the atonement. You have the main passageway of 2144, the probable date of erection of the pyramid. You'll notice at point F, the time of the flood is indicated 630 years before the Exodus. You'll notice at another point, 1647, the inch years between Exodus and the birth of Christ. This passage with its granite plug symbolizes law, way to eternal life, which is blocked by our sinful natures. Then you'll also notice 33 and a half, the inch years of Christ's life. Then you'll see the point where the stone cover of the well was burst upward, symbolizing Christ's resurrection. Then you'll see the gospel age, symbolized by the grand gallery, 28 feet high. The king's chamber, then the Jewish or queen's chamber, symbolizes present blindness of the Jews, and then you'll also see the grand chamber, to exist in the upper part of the pyramid, symbolic of heaven. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what prophecies do the mystery schools, what events are prophesied according to the mystery schools within the Great Pyramid? According to Mr. Lewis, as has already been stated, the interior of the Great Pyramid, as well as the exterior, in dimensions, length of lines, the crossing of lines, the intersection of passageways, and numerous other details, reveals the time and period of various events in the history of man. In addition to these prophecies, the pyramid contains, in its secret marks and significant elements, an outline of the ancient wisdom and the mysteries. But let us examine the prophecies. You must keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, that since the pyramid is very, very old, a large number of the prophecies it contains have already been fulfilled. Therefore, you have to look in retrospect at most of the prophecies from the pyramid. Many will say, of course, that it's an easy matter to pick out the important dates of past history and then find measurements and dimensions, and more or less significant crossings of lines to correspond to the date selected. Critics, of course, and those who doubt that the pyramid was a monument of prophecy as well as the mysteries, will argue that it is well enough to point out how the various lines and dimensions of the pyramid were intended to indicate certain events of history. There is no way to prove to these persons that the events have not been selected to fit the dimensions and cross lines of the pyramid. Our only argument from the AMORC is that many of these dimensions prophesizing future events were discovered and given to the world many years ago before some of the outstanding events of past history had even occurred. It has been through checking up the prophetic lines and dimensions of the pyramid with past events that the real key of the prophecies was found. Among the many persons who devoted a great deal of time to the study of the prophecies of the pyramid is Mr. David Davidson, again Dr. Davidson, an eminent English expert on the secret nature of the pyramid, and a man whose patience and integrity in his chosen field of research have awarded him the highest position as an authority. As an eminent structural engineer, as well as a British scientist, his findings, after 25 years of study and research in connection with the Great Pyramid, were published by him in 1924. It was a monumental book of limited circulation entitled The Great Pyramid, Its Divine Message. In this great work, he illustrates with 88 plates and 97 sheets of archaeological, historical, and astronomical tables the correctness of the key to the pyramid prophecies which he discovered. Others before him had devoted much time to similar researches. Among the earliest was John Greaves, professor of astronomy at Oxford, who explored the pyramid in 1637. And Colonel Howard Vyse spent a personal fortune investigating the subject. Sir John Herschel, the famous astronomer, interested himself in the same problem, and his astronomical knowledge enabled him to make many important discoveries regarding the significance of the construction. In 1859, John Taylor, a London publisher and eminent mathematician, issued a book wherein he revealed the significance of some of the pyramid's dimensions. It was he, ladies and gentlemen, who revealed an important key in explaining the polar inch in connection with the pyramid's dimensions. Professor Piazzi Smith, in the years 1864 and 1865, found strong confirmation of Mr. Taylor's discoveries. This professor was followed by Sir William Petrie, the renowned archaeologist who applied new scientific methods in verifying the great structure and compared the polar inch to the British inch, thereby furnishing Mr. David Davidson with additional keys. Those who would like to delve more deeply into all the significance of the measurements and structural details of the pyramid as related to the prophecies are urged wholeheartedly to secure and read Mr. Davidson's book. Let it be known, therefore, that according to these eminent authorities, all of the outstanding events of the history of mankind are plainly indicated in charts and diagrams based upon the measurements, structural lines, dimension keys, and cross lines within the pyramids. As, for instance, were the lines of one floor of a chamber crossed the lines of an upright partition, or were the lines of horizontal walls descend and cross the lines of another level? If the spaces between these crossings are measured in the pyramid inch and associated with years and months and days, and in some cases with actual hours, significant dates are obtained. And by their association with the lines that rise upward or pass horizontally or drop vertically, certain significance is given to the prophetic date. Also, the association of these lines of measurement with certain chamber passageways and strange arrangements within the pyramid helped to reveal the nature of the event that was to occur on the date prophesied by the dimensions. To give a complete list of all the prophecies contained within the pyramid that have been fulfilled, including even those of recent years, would require a very voluminous book. And it must be remembered that many of the prophecies outlined by Mr. David Davidson in his book, issued in 1924, have been fulfilled since then in the same precise manner as were the events of the past. Future years will continue to show the correctness of the discoveries and researches made by these eminent men. Ladies and gentlemen, I would refer you at this point to Plate 2. That's another cross-section of the pyramid. Among the earliest prophecies indicated by the pyramid are those pertaining to the creation of the earth, the great universal flood, the rise and fall of man's spiritual and worldly unfoldment, and the rulership of various kingdoms by great men, the outstanding wars between nations, and the development of religious and moral movements amongst men. Reaching backwards into these prophecies, let us begin a brief index of them with the Exodus of the Israelites from Egypt. This is defined in the pyramid by the intersection of the floor line of the ascending passage with the central line of the descending package, giving the date of the 15th of Nisan, April 4th, in 1486 B.C. Skipping over a number of intermediate historical events, we take the next outstanding one as being that of the birth of Jesus the Christ, which, according to the prophecy of the pyramid, was to take place on October 4th, the Gregorian calendar, in the year 4 B.C. It must be understood, ladies and gentlemen, that the actual birth date of Jesus, however, has been disputed and argued for many centuries, and there is nothing in the old scriptures to warrant the positive statement that Jesus was born in December. The calendar has been changed so greatly since that event that it is of little aid in the analysis of this mooted point. Historical records show that in the early Christian centuries, the birth date of Jesus was not definitely decided upon until a great conclave. It was arbitrarily set for December 25th. The actual period of the years has been set by many authorities as between the 1st of October and the 23rd of March. Even the year is in dispute, ladies and gentlemen. For if you look, and according to the story of the Bible regarding the census that was being taken at the time of the birth of Jesus, the year of the birth is 3 or 4 years in error according to our modern calendars. But since the prophecies of the pyramid in regard to all other great events prove to be so accurate, there is no reason why we should not accept the pyramid date as being the very best authority. The date of the nativity of Jesus is defined by the intersection of the produced floor lines of the Queen's Chamber with the floor lines of the ascending passage. In this manner, a triangle is formed, having for its hypotenuse the sloping floor of the ascending passage. In measuring this hypotenuse, we arrive at a figure which, translated into solar years, gives us 33.5 lunar years, or the exact length of the public life of Jesus. Next, other events and passing over them that indicated during the lifetime of Jesus, we come to a measurement that gives as the date of the crucifixion April 5th, 30 AD. Skipping past many great events of history occurring between the early Christian period and our present centuries, which would require too many pages for such a small treatise here, we find such interesting prophecies as that for August 2nd, 1909, indicating the establishment of certain relationships between the Tsar of Russia and some of the great countries of Europe, which prophecy was fulfilled. The next great important date found within the pyramid is that of October the 27th and 28th, 1912, which is the beginning of the Balkan Troubles. Then another prophecy given by the dimensions at the entrance to the subterranean chamber of chaos was fulfilled on March 12th of 1913, indicating the conflicts and sudden reversals in world affairs, beginning a second Balkan disturbance and an attitude of depression and fear throughout Europe. Then, if you go and look, the steps of the rough floor of the pit in the pyramid, one drop in the steps indicated the very next date, August 10th, 1913, the Treaty of Bucharest, by which Bulgaria found herself forced to give Greece the territory she had acquired from Turkey, causing European statesmen to become greatly concerned over the new turn of events in the restlessness in Europe. Then, if you look at the measurements leading to the entrance into the first low passage of the pyramid, the next date prophesized is August 4th and 5th, 1914, foretelling the beginning of Germany's activities and was fulfilled by Germany's mobilization. The exact hour of the crisis of that period was indicated even by the pyramid to occur on August 5th at 3:54 a.m. History records that somewhere near midnight on that day, which may mean around 2 or 3 or 4 in the morning, Germany was notified that Great Britain's ultimatum had not only expired, but was finally ended, and this was equivalent to a declaration of war. Then, ladies and gentlemen, the next date, January 31st, 1917. This is indicated in the pyramid by a terminal point of the so-called index in the pyramid. It predicted that the United States would spiritually contact the Great War, and that within 65 to 70 days, America would be involved. This brought the date of action close to the early part of April 1917. And so it was on April 5th and 6th of 1917 that the United States entered into the conflict abroad. There are other interesting dates, such as December 11th, 1917, predicting that the Jews and their country would have another one of the many experiences which the pyramid had indicated in the past. And it's to be noted that on this date, in December 1917, Jerusalem was delivered by General Allenby. The next significant date was January 18, 1918. It was indicated by the vertical line to the southern end of the wall of the so-called King's Chamber. This date was associated in its prophecies with the preceding one dealing with the interests of the Jews, and is notable that on January 18, 1918, the Soviet Republic was found in Petrograd. Next, ladies and gentlemen, please see Plate 3, the Hall of Illumination. And I think, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find it interesting to note that they're going to find another date indicated for the same year, that of November 10th and 11th, 1918. And this date was revealed by the dimensions and lines at the end of the first low passage. The date figures out as the exact date of the flight of the German Kaiser into Holland, which resulted the following day in the armistice and the ending of World War I. Since the date was indicated by the lines at the end of the first low passage, it indicated very definitely the ending of all the tribulations and warring activities signified by the low passage itself. Those who had been following the pyramid prophecies throughout the period of the World War looked forward to November 10th and 11th of 1918 as the ending of the essential activities of the war, even if the armistice had not been signed on that day. But the signing of the armistice made a very definite ending to the war in its existing form. Another date, anticipated by the students of pyramid prophecies who are interested in world events, was that of October 12, 1919, which was indicated by the lines at the beginning of the red granite floor. The significance here was of some new and steady influence that would be created on the 12th of December that would affect the foundations of the nations in Europe. It is to be noted, ladies and gentlemen, that on this date was held the first post-war conference of the so-called Big Four nations, namely Great Britain, the United States, France, and Italy. The result of this conference is so well known, it needs no explanation. Then came the date of July 11th, 1920. This is supplied in the pyramid by the projecting inch and the measurement of the face of the granite leaf. On this date, the Treaty of Sevres regarding the Allies' final terms constituted another ultimatum of international importance. The following date, August 10, 1920, indicated in the same manner in the pyramid, was the date of the signing of the Turkish Treaty. Passing over a number of intermediate dates that had to do with the signing of treaties and the agreements between nations of international importance, and covering such important matters as the first council meeting of the new cabinet held by the Sultan of Egypt, Lord Curzon's ultimatum to the Turks, the Franco-British crisis regarding the Ruhr, the abdication of the Sultan of Turkey, the assassination of the chief of the Russian Secret Service, and the exposure which followed, the surprising earthquake in Jerusalem that revealed some important matters and similar affairs, we will now come to more modern dates. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I won't continue on. We'll leave the more modern dates for the next episode of this series, The Symbolic Prophecy of the Great Pyramid According to the Mystery Schools. Tonight, 18th of January, 2010, Monday, your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona, the Hour of the Time, the website, hourofthetime.com, the mailing address, Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. The studio number, 928-333-2942. The studio in Canada, 613-733-4324. And my personal email address, hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank all of you for tuning in this evening. I hope you took notes. I told you there'd be lots and lots of dates and matters and names. And in the next installment in the series, we'll continue on with the more modern dates, and I'm going to have a couple quizzes for you. So you astute listeners who actually do listen, because there's a difference between hearing and listening, and take notes. I'll have a few quizzes, and we're going to have some free MP3 audio series to give out for your answers. I hope everyone has a safe and a studious evening, and may God bless each and every one of you.